time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Sorry, I'm out of breath. I forgot some paperwork. I had to run down there during a commercial and get back here in time for you guys. Well, anyway, it is 86 degrees at Hollis, 85 here at Elk City, 86 at Woodward, 85 at Arnett, 87 at Perryton, and Shamrock Canadian, you're coming in there around 83 to 85. So anyway, I'll have your Long Ranger forecasters coming up for you, from, sponsored by Hobart Farm and Garden, here in just a little bit, as soon as I catch my breath. But anyway, let's check out the markets. It's a beautiful day out there today. Corn, September futures, 691 a bushel. December is 680. March is 684. May of next year, 685. Soybean future, September, 1470 a bushel. November, 1406. January, 1411. March, 1413. Man, I can't believe how fast this year's going by. Soybean meal, September, $440 a short ton. $415.80 for October. December, $411.30. Soybean oil, $68.86 for September. $65.93 for October. $64.26 for December. Hard red winter wheat, September, $9.34. December, $9.25. Man, everything's in a green today. I'm talking oil, natural gas, beef, live cattle, feeder cattle, hogs, everything is looking good. Cotton for October is 108.32, December 103 a pound. Oats for September is 404, and December is $3.91 a bushel. Let's check out the cash grain prices in Oklahoma and Texas for today. Come on, there you go. Anyway, hard red winter wheat is 882, just changed on me, 882, it's up 38 today. Corn is 763, Milo is 698, and cash grain price for soybeans in Oklahoma, Texas, $14.37 a bushel at the elevators, according to the report. Well, let's see what's happening around Oklahoma, the United States, the world, see what's causing all the chaos today. Soybean futures jumped and grains were higher in overnight trading on concerns about dry weather in parts of the United States Corn Belt and uncertainty about what will happen with the Ukraine shipments. Little or no rain has fallen in much of the Dakotas, Minnesota, Nebraska, northwestern Iowa, and northern Missouri in the past 2 weeks, according to the data from the National Weather Service. About 86.3% of Nebraska is facing drought conditions as of September 6th, and that's up from 84% a week earlier. Just over 10% of the state is facing extreme drought, the worst possible rating, and it's up from 6.1% 7 days earlier due to the lack of precipitation. Roughly 73% of Kansas is seeing drought conditions, unchanged from the previous week, but up from 48% 3 months ago. Iowa's doing a little better, as 40% of the state is suffering from drought conditions, little changed week to week, but up from 6.9% 3 months ago. Indiana, meanwhile, is looking good with only 7.1% seeing drought, but that's up from 5.3% a week earlier and 0% 3 months ago. Iowa and Illinois are the largest producers of corn and soybeans in the United States. Also underpinning prices are concerned about whether a fragile deal allowing Ukraine grain to flow to importers will hold. Russian President Putin in recent days has repeatedly accused them of shipping much-needed grain only to wealthy European countries rather than those in the most need. The president of Turkey, a very well-known Putin ally, echoed those comments yesterday. The agreement allowing Ukrainian agriculture products to ship from the country's ports was partially negotiated by Turkey. Putin said today that he will discuss the deal with the Turkey president. The Ukraine foreign minister said in a response this week that two-thirds of the grain sent to foreign countries was directed to Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. Prices declined after Ukraine grain was allowed out of its ports, which is important in mitigating global food crisis, he said. These are real facts, and the Russians' fakes about sending Ukrainian grain only to Europe simply does not correspond to reality. Soybean futures for November delivery jumped 15 and three-quarter cents to $14.81 and three-quarter cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal added $3.40 to $409.30 a short ton, while soybean oil raised 74 cents to 63.9 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was four and a quarter. When it was up four and a quarter to $6.72 and three quarter cents a bushel. Wheat gained 9 cents to $8.38 a bushel in Chicago, while in Kansas City futures added 9.5 cents to $9.02 a bushel. Ethanol production rose to the highest level in almost a month last week, while inventories declined, according to data from the Energy Information Administration, the EIA. Output for the biofuel increased to an average of 989,000 barrels a day in the week that ended on September 2nd. That's up from 970,000 barrels last week or the week before, and the highest level since August 5th. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, production surged to an average of 931,000 barrels a day from 911,000 barrels the week prior to that. That's also the highest since early August. Rocky Mountain output increased to 14,000 barrels a day on average from 13,000 barrels in the previous week. That was an entirety of all the gains, as West Coast production was unchanged at 9,000 barrels per day for the fourth straight week. East Coast output declined to 12,000 from 13,000 barrels. Gulf Coast production dropped to an average of 23,000 barrels. That's down from 25,000, marking the lowest level since August, according to the EIA. Stockpiles, meanwhile, dropped to 23.138 million barrels in a week through September 2nd. That's down from 23.533 million barrels the week prior to that, and the lowest level since June, according to the report. Well, weather going on nationwide. Thunderstorms are possible tonight and tomorrow in parts of northern and western Iowa where they really need it. Severe weather isn't expected at this time, according to the National Weather Service. Storms likely will continue through the weekend. More storms will be possible through Sunday night. Storms are also likely this weekend in part of southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana. Local heavy rain and isolated areas of flash flooding will be possible. Parts of northern and western Oklahoma will also see rain this weekend, with precipitation falling Saturday night through early Sunday morning, according to the National Weather Service. I did a little investigated reporting, and the best I could come up with is the rain expected in western Oklahoma and parts of eastern Texas Panhandle is around 3/10. The text line's open. The Today in Ag text line is open at 580-225-9697 if anybody knows anything more about if we're certain areas going to get more than others, but that's the best I can do. And I did see on social media this morning that one of Oklahoma's favorite meteorologist, Lacey Swope. She's coming back to work Monday morning after being off 12 weeks, having a baby. Troy is his name. And she's ready to get back to work. She's had a pretty wild vacation having that baby. Last week she posted a video where they woke up in their tent or their cabin and big old brown bear, not a brown bear, but a black bear, big one, coming out of the back of her truck. So they had some pretty exciting times up there. I don't think hubby was up there hunting. I think they were up there with the kids just having a vacation. But anyway, she had a pretty good time with her 12 weeks off, beautiful baby. And hopefully in the next 2 to 4 weeks, once she gets settled back down at work, she'll start coming back on Tuesday for one segment, talking about the adventures of Lacey Swope and giving us some hope with our weather coming up. So that'll be good. Lots of things going on. I know stock shows, county shows are in full swing this weekend. Good luck to all you showers, 4-H and FFA. Best of luck with that. And I know some of them already had some, but this weekend here seemed like it was the busiest weekend. And we'll have some results from some of those shows next week on the show, which is good. I'm very avid about my FFA and 4-H kids, so we try to keep up with what all's going. It's hard to do. Well, when I come back after this first break, we will talk cattle, see what's happening with the live and feeders, and see what's happening with the stockyard sales going on. Again, tomorrow, 11 a.m., Hobart Stockyards will be having their monthly sheep and goat sale, which is about a week late, but they didn't want to have it on Labor Day weekend, so it'll be happening there at Hobart tomorrow at 11 a.m. And today we got the Elk City livestock going on. Matter of fact, I took a couple of my call cows in there that didn't breed back in the time frame I wanted it, 60 days, took them in yesterday. Mr. Brandon Hickey himself unloaded me. So anyway, it was all good. Had a good conversation with him. And I got the reports from Woodward yesterday on the calf sales. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb in studio with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 2nd. 2,048 head were sold, 19 head of steers at 346 brought 221, 3 at 448 brought 211, 10 at 476 brought 144, 5 at 524 brought 178, 8 at 665 brought 164, 9 at 668 brought 167.50, 8 at 865 brought 125, 5 head of heifers at 292 brought 193, 9 at 465 brought 175.50, 10 at 506 brought 167, 4 at 531 brought 167, 9 at 546 brought 160, 5 at 717 brought 148, 7 at 764 brought 154.50. Butcher cows were 34 to 95. Butcher bulls brought 74 to 120. Bred cows were 925 to 1325. Pairs brought 975 to 1600. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
The Depot Trading Company Men's and More Store is having a Teacher's Appreciation event and sale Tuesday night, September 13th, and they'll stay open late till 7 p.m. with giveaways and discounts for all area educators. This includes teachers, coaches, administrators, and support personnel. Step inside one of Elk City's newest stores in one of Elk City's oldest buildings, and you'll find men's clothing, a couple women's lines, plus the most unique men's gifts, barbecue grills, spices, accessories, and outdoor party gear. And you can order online through their Facebook page. The Depot Trading Company Men's and More Store, 318 South Main Street in downtown Elk City.
Sparklight delivers Wi-Fi that wows with internet speeds up to 200 megs, just $45 a month for 3 months. Call 877-687-1427 for free installation and no contracts. Go even faster with gig speeds. Live your best life with reliable fiber-powered internet. Now twice as fast, just $45 a month for 3 months. Call 877-687-1427 today. Offer ends September 30th, 2022. Includes 700 gig data plan. Equipment taxes and fees not included. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Good Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Drew Cobb. This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 29th. 1,467 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 370 brought 229. 7 at 484 brought 202. 10 at 565 brought 187. 15 at 647 brought 189.25. 30 at 719 brought 171.50. 19 at 815 brought 171.50. 13 at 966 brought 160. 4 head of heifers at 251 brought 239. 7 at 470 brought 162. 6 at 502 brought 161, 5 at 567 brought 154, 6 at 612 brought 153, 8 at 703 brought 163.50, 8 at 756 brought 160, butcher cows were 3 to 100.5, butcher bulls brought 30 to 123, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. See what's happening here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet in the studio. This gadget he put in, that's what I call it. It's a gadget. 83.1 degrees, humidity is 51. And around our listening area, we're basically up in the mid to upper 80s. It's starting to warm up out there in the Texas Panhandle and into western Oklahoma. Let's see, who is the warmest in the state right now? Buffalo. 90 degrees. You're the hot spot today. I'm glad we got, speaking of that, I'm glad we got KWFX 100.1 listening live up there during the show now, because I got all kinds of temperatures to read. We got basically all of western Oklahoma now, Oklahoma Panhandle, most Texas Panhandle listening to the show now, and I'm glad. Up there at Woodward, I want to welcome the sponsors to the show, Ace Hardware, Merriman's Furniture, hope I said that right, Stock Exchange Bank, County Line Supply, right there in Visalia, Oklahoma. I've bought a lot of fencing stuff from them, good people. Gwayne Matthews, State Farm, Harper Sanitation, Moore's Roofing, and Farm Credit of Western Oklahoma. Welcome. Thank you so much for sponsoring the Today in Ag Show. So, welcome. And, all right, well, let's check out what's happening with some futures on the cattle. Live cattle for October is up 145.80. December is 151.12. February is 155.27. April is 158.90 for live cattle. Feeder cattle, September 183.22. October is 185.80. Lean hogs, October 93.22. December is 83.20. And February is 87.42. Let's check out what happened at Woodward yesterday, if you want to. 4,474 head went through the sale barn yesterday, compared to 3,200 last week and 3,600 a year ago yesterday. Compared to last week, feeder steers were steady to $5 higher. Feeder heifers mostly steady. Steer calves mostly steady on the wing calves, except up to $11 or $10 lower on the unwinged fleshier calves. Heifer calves were steady to $3 lower. Demand was moderate to active on the feeder cattle and moderate on the calves. Quality was average to attractive. Feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was 70% of what went through there yesterday. All right, bear with me here. I'm going to do some comparisons to some unwinged to wing calves here so you can see what's happened. I noticed just looking at the report compared to last week. Last week it was 3 to 5, maybe up to 600 pounders. There wasn't a terrible lot of difference between winged and unwinged. But this week here, it looks like just the lighter weights, 3 and 4 weights, the prices were pretty close. And then when you got into your heavier weights, 400 to 700 pounds, the unwinged, you could see you took pretty good hit when you sold them. So let's look at some 387-pounders that were unwinged, brought up to 211. Some 359-pounders brought up to, that were winged, brought up to 208. In the 400-pound range, we had some 405s that were unwinged up to 207, and some 469s up to 204. So not a lot of difference, actually. It's first, I mean, just depends on the quality of the calves. I wasn't there. It looks like the unwinged were bringing a few pennies more than the wing, but everything comes down to quality and looks there. 524-pounders winged up to $1.95. Unwinged 529-pounders up to $1.87. And then we get down here into the 600-pound range. We had some 627s winged, brought $1.88.50 or up to $1.88.50 or $188.50. I'll get it right. It's Friday. Give me a break here. 621s unwinged $181.50. 659s winged $1.91. 700-pounders, we bring it up to, looks like they was in the, up to 190 on some of them. Must have been a really good set. Big load, 235 head of them. 800 pounds, 821s, bringing up to $1.87.50 there. Average was $1.78. And then 900-pounders, we're bringing up to $1.75. And then they had a few 45 head that was average weight of 1,034. Brought $1.61.25. Let's see. Let's check out the heifers. We got some 302-pounders, $1.72. 312s, unwinged, $1.73. Some winged ones that were weighing 395, we're bringing up to $1.83. And then down here in the 400-pound range, we had some 430-pounders that were unwinged, up to $1.85. Some winged ones up to $1.84.50, but then we get into the 500-pounders. Things kind of change a little different. 533 weights brought up to $1.81.50. Unwinged ones, 528 pounders, $1.72. So there's almost 10 cents different per pound. And then down in the 600-pound range, we had some 626s up to $1.79. Some 620-pounders. Up to $1.63 unwinged. There's considerable difference there. 700-pound heifers, let's see here, let's check this out. 732-pounders up to $1.73, and some unwinged ones that weighed 711 on the average, only $1.50. Quite a bit of difference there, but again, I don't see what the quality is on either one of these, so that matters quite a bit. Some 800-pound heifers weighing 817 up to $1.70. Some unwinged ones was weighing 803, brought $1.45. Then some 878 weights brought up $1.56 on the average. They had some cutter bulls, medium and large number ones. Looks like the average weight on them was 433 up to $1.96. Some 550-pounders, $1.63. All these basically were unwinged, these bulls were. And some 719-pound bulls, $1.39. 800-pound bulls, $140.50 per hundred weight. So that's what was happening in Woodward yesterday. When I come back after this break, we're going to talk some cattle, hopefully some rainfall. Talk a little bit more about drought. We're far from being out of the drought. And that'll be it. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Brian Bacca is an investment advisor representative of and advisory services offered through Royal Fund Management, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Studies show retirees with a steady paycheck in retirement have better health, reduced anxiety, and potentially live longer. Are you in retirement currently and relying on uncertain stock market returns to generate your paycheck for the rest of your life? Geopolitical events, out-of-control inflation, record fuel prices all create negative pressure on your nest egg. Taking income out of your portfolio while it's going backwards and paying taxes creates extreme stress on your nest egg, not to mention the stress and anxiety to you personally. Monthly bills need consistent monthly income without putting your nest egg in jeopardy. Let us help you create a predictable, consistent paycheck without the worry of future income reduction due to negative market returns. Schedule a personal meeting with us today and let us show you how we can potentially reduce the anxiety and create more certainty in your uncertain world. Give Brian or Briley Baca at Advanced Financial Strategies a call. Give us a call today at our office in Clinton, 323-6800. 323-6800, or check out our website, retirewithbaca.com.
A person who has never smiled can start smiling. There's just a look on their face that completely changes. And when we give them a mirror and show them their new smile, there's nothing that warms my heart more. I had a gentleman in his 50s, and his whole life he never had a front tooth. His front tooth was stuck up in the bone. He had been to dentists before, but nobody really talked to him about his options. That was just the most rewarding thing. And afterwards, he sent me the sweetest card about how the Lord put a smile on his heart, but I put a smile on his face. And that's pretty rewarding. My name is Jamie Cameron, and I am a dentist in Weatherford at 129 North Bradley, a block north of Brahms. Also at Liberty Dental in Carnegie on Main Street, right next to the movie theater. JamieCameronDDS.com. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, JamieCameronDDS, where we treat you like family and do life-changing dentistry.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently 86 degrees at Woodward. Here's northwestern Oklahoma's forecast, long range forecast for the next 4 or 5 days here. This afternoon, sunny, high in the low 90s. Tonight, mostly clear. Saturday, mostly sunny, then chances of rain. High of 77 tomorrow. It's going to cool down. Better get your dove hunting in because they're going to head south. Anyway, tomorrow evening, get the hoodies out. 40% chance of thunderstorms and 54 for a low. Sunday, mostly sunny, high 77. Monday, 86. And here we go again. Tuesday, 93 degrees in northwestern Oklahoma, so it'll be in the 90s according to the Oklahoma Mesonet that I seen on social media earlier. Looks like the triple digits might work its way back into the forecast next week, so get ready. Hopefully we get some rain this weekend. Some of those guys got some weed up. I did one of my buddies did said he seen somebody out west close to the Texas state line out there that sowed wheat a couple weeks ago when it come up. It looked like the outer edges, the grasshopper was already making headway across it. So keep an eye on your wheat and rye if you've already got some sowed. And not sold, but sowed. Hey, I got a gentleman over here at Sayre that's got 48 head of cows that he's wanting to sell. I think he just weaned the calves off of them, and not sure if they're bred back or what the deal is, but you can call Ronnie at 580-729-0071 if you're looking for some cows. Buy them right off the farm out there if interested. And like I said, it's 729-0071 if you're interested. That's Mr. Ronnie. Talk to him, see if you're interested in some cows. I just got my stub check from selling today, and looks like the cows have been down since last week, down slightly, but it looks pretty good. They one weighed 1105, brought $85 a hundred, and one that weighed 1140 brought $88 a hundred weight. Pretty good, I'll take it. Basically, what was the average? Almost $1,000 a head. I'll take it. And anyway, they were in good shape, so somebody will be good to get them. Anyway, so I called them. I told you earlier, I called them, reason being, they probably would have been bred if I'd have left the bull with them another 30 days. But last year, these are the cows out here west of Elk, the heifers that I was experimenting. Last year, we synchronized them. I gave them 45 days and with four bulls, actually just a couple weeks with four bulls, and then pulled three bulls, left one in there, and we got 29 out of 35 bred. I didn't call those cows because I didn't, you know, 45 days, pretty short period. And then this year, we synchronized them again, and two of them were open, and that's pretty good for 60 days. So I got rid of them. This would have been their second calf, as Alan Potter would call them, second calf heifers. But there's a time frame of 60 days. They didn't get her done, so ain't no use in wasting the grass on them, as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, they went to the sale barn today. Probably all right, but not now. Anyway, let's see what we got going here. Where is my other article? All right. Calves separating from their dams at weaning can experience stress, as you guys all well know, that weaned calves, especially if they undergo vaccinations and other processing procedures at the same time, said the experts at K-State University Beef Cattle Institute. Stress happens when the calf is exposed to a new, unusual situation, so our goal is to reduce the number of stressors we put on them at one time, according to veterinarian Brad White. Historically, calves were processed on the same day as they were weaned due to the labor availability, says veterinarian Bob Larson, but he added that following that management plan is not necessarily best for the calves' stress level. Veterinarian Brian Lubers offered advice on how best to help the calves through this transition. The goal is to spread out over time things that will lead to reduced stress in the calves. So first begin by separating the cows and the calves for a few days before processing. This will allow the calves to get used to the new environment and adjust to their feed and water sources. He also added that on subsequent days, help can be brought in to do other processing procedures as such as vaccinations and castrations. Another strategy is fence line weaning, which this is the first time I've ever done it, and that's what we're doing this year. And I like it. I'm sold. One deal and I'm sold. Fence line weaning allows the cows to have nose-to-nose contact with the calf during this time of transition, so the bond is broken more gradually. Fence line weaning is effective on reducing stress, and weaning process can happen quickly. With fence line weaning, the cows and calves typically walk the fences for the first 24 hours, and then after that, they start leaving each other on their own. The key is to make sure the fences are strong so the calves don't get back in with their moms. Exposure to the new environment can happen while the cows and calves are still together. With weaning, we are changing the calves' social structure by separating them from their mothers, as well as transitioning them to the new feed and, in some cases, a new water source. So when it's possible, it's good to let the calves explore their new area before they leave their moms. He also added, by spreading out the stressors over time, the calves will be better off from an animal welfare and health standpoint. And I agree with that 100%. So I got one of those little single axle feeders that holds about 2.5 tons. And I filled one up when the calves on these heifers was, what how was they? They was probably about 2 months old, and I went and got a feeder full and went out there, and I got the cages so the calves can get in there and the mamas don't tear it up. And I let them have one, and then about three months later, we worked the calves, castrated them. Getting the cattle synchronized, we actually gave them some of their shots then, and then about 3 weeks later, we took them in, got them castrated, and the rest of their vaccinations. And then a month later, we preg checked the mamas, and at the same time, I got the calves out and put them in a smaller pasture, had them some feed there, and out of 20 calves out of that bunch, not one sick calf. And what I did learn is, I never noticed it before on this deal here, is that I had a mom, one of the mama cows got depressed because she didn't have her baby. I've seen some of them, they followed me to the gate wanting their babies when we're hauling them off and all that stuff. But this cow, for 2 weeks now, she's just been hanging by herself. She has no fever. She just, she's eating and she's drinking good, but you can just tell that she's totally depressed. And she needs to talk to Dr. Phil about some guy named Jimmy taking her baby away from her. And the ironic thing about it is the calf that was her baby is the one that got snake bit by rattlesnake twice in the same leg, and they had to be pinned up at Dr. Mouse's for about 10 days while Dr. Mouse tried to save this calf's leg, which she did. And brought him back home. So they're pretty close-knit bunch of pair there, but crazy thing is that leg seemed like it's not infected, and swelling was there. The calves hung out by itself, but that mama would come find her and let her nurse. And then after a weaning, the calf's actually doing better on its own. She's growing now. She's a little bit behind the rest of them, but and poor thing's got her ears half frozen over from being born in February during that cold front. But it's just crazy, you get to noticing things about a cow being depressed because her baby's gone. Usually they're mad, not depressed, but they're ready for them to get off there. But these are first time mamas, so we'll see what happens with them on this next go around. Well, when I come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you for southwestern Oklahoma. And we'll talk some more cattle, maybe a little stuff about Texas Panhandle, because we have a lot of listeners out there. But first, let's see what Jerry Nines got to say about his sales for the past week.
This is Jerry Nines, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, September the 6th, we sold 1,007 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, September the 8th, we sold 4,474 calves and feeders for a total of 5,481 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows, 83 to 92. Then cows bring 57 to 80-50, with the bulls bringing 92 to 119. 2-day-year-old bred cows, 900 to 1450, with our 2-day-year-old pairs, 1400 to 1775. One thing about our packer cows and bulls, they do not buddy up, makes a lot better market. On our steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, 218 to 221, 4 to 450, 195 to 207, 5 to 550, 186 to 195, 6 to 650 off the cow, steers 162 to 1, 82.5, yearlings 182 to 188.50, 7 to 750 steers 175 to 189.75, 8 to 850, 170 to 187.50, 9 to 950, 163 to 175, 35, and 45 steers weighing 1034, bring 161 to quarter. Check out our commission. Our commission is $5.05 cheaper than some other sale barns around. On our heifers, 3 to 350 heifers, 172 to 180, 4 to 450, 165 to 185, 5 to 550, 164 to 180, 150, 6 to 650, 163 to 179, 7 to 750, 166.5 to 173.75. 8 to 850, 153 to 170, and 36 heifers, weighing 878, break 156. A lot of our good cattle went north, guys. We topped on the 7 to 750 steers, 189.75. On the 8 to 850 steers, topped 187.50. 9 to 950 topped 175.75. And our 7 to 750 heifers topped 173.75. 8-day 50 heifers top 170. But this Tuesday, September the 13th, we'll have 50 bred cows and pairs 4 days years old. We've got 40 other bred cows running age. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
Sparklight delivers Wi-Fi that wows with internet speeds up to 200 megs, just $45 a month for 3 months. Call 877-687-1427 for free installation and no contracts. Go even faster with gig speeds. Live your best life with reliable fiber-powered internet. Now twice as fast, just $45 a month for 3 months. Call 877-687-1427 today. Offer ends September 30th, 2022. Includes 700 gig data plan. Equipment taxes and fees not included. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyard's where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, according to the Elk City Mezzanette, we are 85 degrees here. Heat index at 86. Humidity's at 47. The winds are out of the south at 14 miles an hour with wind gust up to 19. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger. 90 degrees for high today. Looks like we're going to get there. Clear. Low of 63 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with the wind switching, coming back out of the north. It's going to cool down from there. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain showers. 58 degrees for a low. Sunday, 77. Looks like we're going to have wind gust or wind out of the north 10 to 16 miles an hour with wind gust up to 25. So it's going to be a little airish out there. Sunday night, 56. Monday, start warming back up, 84. And Tuesday, as 91 degrees. So the heat is back on starting basically Monday. Anyway, I'll have you update Monday on my corn, see how it was doing. It was starting to fill in. When was I down there? 2 days ago, down at the pivot, and she was looking good. I'm excited. It's the first time I've ever grown field corn, and I've learned a lot. And with the help of some friends like Daryl and Kent, it's coming along nicely. You know, but we'll count the chickens and the eggs and everything else till it gets in the truck and heads down the road to the buyer. That's anyway, it looks good so far. It's been fun to watch. Okay, big topic that's always happening, whether it's just at the sale barn when you're talking or at the coffee shop in the morning or mostly on social media. And why do we export beef? That's a big question, and I've had numerous guests on here that have explained why, and still don't get it, because on social media they're always going, we shouldn't export beef, we shouldn't import beef, and we shouldn't do this. Well, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot of trade agreements why we export, import, for one. But this right here, last week, this gentleman from James Mitchell, he's a livestock marketing specialist from the University of Arkansas. Last week, Kenny briefly covered the first 6 months of beef trade data that we had for 2022. The USDA will release July's trade data pretty much yesterday, and this is part of it. And I want to take a closer look at the U.S. beef exports ahead of the release. Specifically, what beef do we export and why do we export it? So here we go. The LMIC forecast 2022 commercial cattle slaughter is at 33.7 million head. That's down 0.4% from 2021. Beef from 34 million head will go to one of the three destinations: domestic retail, domestic food service, and exports. Markets find the highest value destination for each beef report. Some beef producers are valued higher in other countries than in the United States, so they are exported. A classic example when discussing beef exports to beef is beef livers. Slaughtering 33.7 million head this year means finding a home for 33.7 million beef livers. I can tell you that we do not consume that many livers in the United States. We used to. I remember my mom always cooking liver and onions, and I hated it. But anyway, we export the vast majority of them. It turns out that we send approximately 75% of United States beef livers to Egypt. In 2021, the value of beef liver exports to Egypt totaled $67.2 million. That's $67 million to the U.S. beef industry by exporting one beef product to one country. Combined, the export value of beef variety meats totaled $1.08 billion in 2021. All right, let's move on. Beef variety meats are not the only product that the United States exports. A beef carcass is fabricated into 8 premium cuts. Many different individual muscle cuts are derived from subpremial cuts. Exports help find a home for each muscle cut. Some muscle cuts, the decision to export is obvious. For example, 85% of beef short ribs is exported. On the other extreme, only 3% of beef tenderloin is exported. For other beef cuts, there is a trade-off involved with exporting. Export whole muscle cuts or grind domestically as a source of lean trim. Deciding whether to export or grind a beef muscle cut is a balancing act and a dynamic process influenced by several factors. An easy way to illustrate this process is to think about freezer beef operations. The average consumer is unfamiliar with most beef items on a freezer beef cut sheet. Instead, consumers would prefer the steaks they familiarly get and more ground beef. That's true fact right there. For me selling beef the last 3 or 4 years for butchering, it's astonishing what most consumers in the United States don't know or know about beef cuts. Individual producers do not have access to export markets, so they either have to grind these unfamiliar muscle cuts or risk a consumer throwing them out. I have seen several freezer beef cut sheets that include a box for consumers to check if they prefer a specific cut to be used for ground beef. There is an export market where those beef items are valued more as a whole muscle cut. Beef wholesalers have access to export markets, so they can choose whether to grind or export whole muscle cuts. Nothing goes to waste, and more value is created with the entire beef industry. In 2021, beef and veal export values total $9.5 billion. This value was created by exporting approximately 11.3% of the 2021 U.S. beef production, which totaled 26.973 billion pounds of beef. That's a lot of meat. This year, cumulative year-to-date, U.S. beef exports total $5.6 billion, or $477 per head of fed cattle slaughter. This year, approximately 23% of fed steer value is attributed to beef exports. So there you go. That's what happens with our beef exports. And it's a good market. And a lot of guys says, well, I don't see that. I don't get any of that money with their selling beef livers to Egypt. I don't see none of that. Well, when they say the beef market, that means everybody. Everybody from the producer to the feedlot to the processing plants. And yes, local person selling local meat don't see that, you know, because my number one question is, if you guys want your liver, kidney, heart, tongue, there it is. And one out of 30 have kept it in the last 2 years from beef I've sold. And there was an finish out here. There was an interesting question on social media earlier that I was, it was interesting. This put out by RCAF USA. The cattle industry is the largest sector of American agriculture. When McCool for beef was in effect in 2013 through 2015, cattle prices paid to American cattle farmers and ranchers reached historical highs. In 2016, the year after McCool for beef was repealed, U.S. cash receipts from the sale of cattle fell $17 billion when compared to 2014. All right, it's a true statement there, true fact, and there's a lot of people want the McCool back, a lot of people don't. Me, I'm just going to remain neutral here on the radio, but I will put something in effect that you guys that are listening out there that had cattle back in the early 2010-11. If you remember, 2010-11-12, parts of 13 was a drought. The biggest one, the worst one actually, not maybe the biggest, but the worst one in western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle and parts of Kansas and a lot of Texas, we was going through one of the worst droughts ever. Well, a lot of cattle was culled in those years from 2011 basically up to 2013-2014, and I think one of the biggest things on the price of beef, because I remember selling some calves in 2015 and I made money, and because the cattle market is supply and demand. The cattle market was people were buying cows to replace the ones they sold, and I was one of those, and was paying $2,500 for a bred cow, and that was one of the deals. But you know, when you look at these numbers, and I'm not saying RCAF's wrong by any means, but when you look at these numbers, you got to remember in our area, where I was talking about is Oklahoma and Texas and Kansas, where we was in that bad drought. Supply and demand, we needed cattle to put back out on our grass when we started getting rains. And when you start everybody buying cattle, price is going to go up. That's all there is to it. That was one of my factors. Yes, we made, that was one of the best years ever, 2014 and 15. And I think supply and demand was one of the main reasons. And then it got back to normal in 2016. And then we've been struggling ever since because of we gave too much for the cattle back there in those days. And I think we're going to see it again. A lot of cows have been culled this year. And people are going to start buying cattle again, either this fall or next year. And we're going to see the same results. So whether Cool did it or not, I'm not convinced of that. You guys have a great weekend. I love you all. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy. God bless.